Sorry, I had to get a drink of water there. I don't know if you were as embarrassed as I was just now, Abby, when they sang happy birthday to us. But I think because you embarrassed us both so much, we'll be in the foyer after service. And do you take cash and any type of credit card as well? Yeah, cash, credit cards, any type of gifts, we'll be happy recipients of those. No, I'm just kidding. Just having fun. All right. Well, as John said, you know, we're gonna look at the life of Abraham this morning. Actually, Abe Lincoln. I used that joke earlier, and our very own Abe did not think it was too funny, and nobody in this room did either, because most of you probably don't even know who he was. Do you guys know Abe? American history. I'm just kidding. No, we're gonna be looking at one of the most incredible men of faith in the whole Bible. The Abraham this morning. And, you know, I was thinking about this and preparing, like, we could literally do an entire series on the life of Abraham. We could do an entire series on every person we're going to be looking at in this series, Heroes of the Faith, talking about all these different guys. And so instead of trying to communicate what could be a 10-week series in less than 40 minutes this morning, we're going to hone in and focus on four simple words that characterized Abraham's life. If you're taking notes this morning, I just want to encourage you to write down these four words. If you have a pen and a pad and you want to write them down, the words are this. It's persist, pursue, progress, and purpose. I'll say it just one more time. It's persist, pursue, progress, purpose. Okay, so how many of you in this room have heard of or have watched the show Ninja Warrior UK? Raise your hand real quick. You don't like it? I haven't seen the original, so to me, and not in the least bit, is it atrocious. It's pretty awesome. Brittany and I love it. Okay, so for those of you who haven't watched the show, the courses are insanely complicated. Okay, they're one right after the other. They present the contestants with incredible challenges to overcome. And I want to show you just a quick clip from the show, because in this clip, you'll see a human, okay, just like you and me, just like Abraham, because Abraham was a human, who, because of her persistent pursuit to progress past the obstacles she faced, was able to accomplish the purpose that she set out to accomplish. So I believe that video is being put up on the screen. We're going to start at 2:09, which is way over there. So we're not watching the whole thing. Back just a little bit. And if I could have Hannah, you want to grab the lights? Keep going back just a little bit. Right there. Okay, so just watch this clip with me. Watch this. Wow. Okay, you can turn it off. Wasn't that amazing, though? You probably weren't expecting to watch Ninja Warrior UK at church this morning, but I wanted to show you that clip because actually was the only woman who qualified and moved past that round. What she did there was absolutely exceptional. And I didn't want to show the whole clip because it's really long, but there were several obstacles that she had to face and overcome that happened before that obstacle. And then she gets to the very end. She's on those rings, loses her grip, right? It almost falls. I mean, Brittany and I, when we were watching it, we watched it at different places, didn't we? But I was like, oh my gosh, like it was just such an intense moment when you saw it. And even now, I felt that again. But I wanted to show you that for a reason, because it is like Abraham's journey, and it's like our journey. There were a few moments in Abraham's journey when, like Katie, he had completely lost his grip. But in the same way that Katie miraculously got back in the game and finished the course, we can have the lights turned back on too. So did Abraham get back in the game and progress in filling his purpose. So in the same way that Katie miraculously got back in the game, was able to swing herself over, grab that other ring, and then complete the entire course, be the only woman to move on in this show, Abraham was able to get back in the game and progress in fulfilling his purpose. And so I wanted to show you that because it's awesome and because it just ties in with where we're going this morning. And so in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, if you turn there with me in your Bibles, we're told of the way God calls Abraham. Or then he's called Abram, isn't he? We're told about the way God calls Abraham, and we're told about the promises that he makes to him. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says this. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Isn't that amazing? That right there is a powerful call from God, a powerful word from God, some powerful promises from God, aren't they, that were given to Abraham? After reading what we just read, you would never think that Abraham would eventually be one to struggle with the fear of men. I mean, in that call, in those passages, Abraham is like communing directly with the Father. He has personal connectivity and relationship with the Father, and hearing clearly from the Father. You would never think that eventually he would be one to struggle with the fear of man, because he was walking so uprightly in the fear of God and hearing him very clearly. But shortly after these promises, actually in the Bible, just a couple verses later, shortly after those promises were given to him, shortly after that clarity was given to him, Abraham does something really surprising. And so if you jump to verse 10 in chapter 12, it says this. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, who we know would eventually be called Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I may be treated well for your sake and live, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male, female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. Okay, so here we see that Abram and Sarah, they move from Canaan to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Sarah is a beautiful woman, so Abram feared that she would be taken from him, and he feared that he would be killed. More than he feared she would be taken from him, he feared that he was going to lose his life. And so he tells her to lie and say that she's his sister, which is super weird. How many husbands in here would tell your wife to lie and say you're their sister? That's weird. By doing so, part of Abram's fear becomes a reality. So by operating in fear, part of his fear then becomes a reality, and he basically gives his wife over to Pharaoh. Part of his fear, because he's operating in fear, it becomes a reality, and he basically gives his own wife over to Pharaoh. So, you see, what we just read about the call and the promises of given to God, or given to Abraham just a couple verses earlier, one of them is that I will curse those who curse you. And so Abraham in disobedience and in fear gives his wife over to Pharaoh. And then what happens next? God begins to curse Pharaoh because even though Pharaoh has no idea what he's doing, Pharaoh is cursing Abraham, and God is saying, even though you're disobedient, Abraham, I've made a promise to you and I'm going to keep it no matter what. And so since this guy has taken your wife, even though you have stupidly given her to him, I'm going to curse Pharaoh. So what does he do? Pharaoh and his family begin being subject to plagues, and one after the other. Eventually, Pharaoh realizes that Sarah is actually Abraham's wife, not his sister. And you'll see later in the text, if you read on, that Pharaoh takes Sarah back to Abraham, and he's like, "Why did you lie to me? Get the heck out of Egypt." I'm paraphrasing, obviously. The Bible doesn't say that. But he basically said, "Why have you lied to me? Why have you told me this lady is your sister when she's your wife? Please take her back and get out of here. I don't want to be on the receiving end of these plagues your God is sending our way at the moment." It's pretty intense, wasn't it? And so he kicks him out of Egypt. And you see, this was one of those points in Abraham's life where, like Katie did in the video that we watched, and like we often do, Abraham completely lost his grip. How so? He wasn't reliant on God in that moment, and he lost sight of the promises of God. That's what happens to us so often in life. When we lose our grip in life, it's mainly because we've become reliant on ourselves, and we've lost sight of the promises of God that he's given to us. And so this was one of the points in Abraham's life. As many of you guys probably know, there were several other points where Abraham would do similar things in different circumstances. But he wasn't relying on God in that moment, and he lost sight of the promises of God. When we rely on ourselves and lose sight of the faithful and powerful promises of God, we give heed to our own fears and weaknesses. I'm going to say that one more time. When we rely on ourselves and lose sight of the faithful and powerful promises of God, we give heed to our own fears and our own weaknesses. What's amazing about Abraham is that despite his shortcomings, he was persistent in his pursuit of God. And so we should be too. So we should be too. Let's look at these two words, persist and pursue. Okay, at the beginning I said persist, pursue, progress, purpose. Let's look at these two words, persist and pursue, together. The word persist, it means to continue firmly in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. So to persist in something is to continue firmly in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. This is exactly what Abraham did. Although he had messed up big time, he didn't let his sinful shortcomings define him and rule his life, did he? Instead, he showed forth his repentance in his lifestyle. Right after he's kicked out of Egypt, we find him again walking in step with and relying upon God. Abraham, in my opinion, through this story and through the many other stories in the Bible about his life, was incredibly persistent. He was an incredibly persistent man after the heart of God. It's a beautiful thing to see as you read the Bible and the story about Abraham's life. So pursue, the word pursue. To pursue means to follow or chase. It actually means to follow or chase, get this, someone or something. So not only was Abraham persistent, he was persistent in his pursuit of God, someone, and the promises of God, something that God had given to him. Again, right after he's kicked out of Egypt, I mentioned that just a minute ago, Abraham is found drawing near to God again, leaning again on the promises of God, and is once again completely willing to do whatever God says and go wherever God leads him. Why is this so important this morning? Why have I taken this route in this talk about Abraham? Because I think that too often when we lose our grip in life, we tend to dangle there for way too long before we get back in the game. Like Katie could have gave up. She was dangling by one arm. All odds are stacked against her. She had already been through tons. She'd already made it farther than probably any other woman. She could have gave up and just fell right into the water. But she continued on. And I think too often in life, when we lose our grip, we tend to dangle there for way too long and sometimes fall in the water. And I want to encourage us this morning that we actually, like Abraham, can get back in the game. And we don't have to put ourselves in a personal prison of condemnation before we do it for a certain amount of time. We can actually get right back in the game. Because that's what Jesus died for, to make a way for us to do that. When I lived in Kansas City, I was like one of the oldest people that attended International House of Prayer University. And there was all kinds of different dynamics that helped happen in my life. And God actually used that to humble me in a lot of different ways, which was awesome. But there was this one day, I was sitting in the prayer room and I was reading my Bible. And it was just one of these days, I was just sort of relaxing in the presence of God. I was engaged. But I was just praying, I was reading my Bible. And, you know, the worship team went into a little bit more of an upbeat song. And I noticed all around the room that all the younger people in my school, all these people that I was just getting to know, were like 18 and 19, were instantly just boom, right out of their seats. And they were going with the change of tempo in the song. And they were just worshiping wholeheartedly. They were just abandoned in worshiping the Lord. And instead of sitting there going, wow, that is awesome, or just simply joining them, I sat there and judged them. And I looked around and was like, I can't believe they're doing that. Just sit down and read your Bible. All these thoughts are going through my head. If I'm being honest, I'm like, just sit down, read your Bible, just relax. Like all the mature leaders on the side, that's what we're doing. So why don't you go ahead and just do that, is what was going on, this inner turmoil happening in me. And how many of you know the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance? That's a beautiful thing. And so in the midst of my being judgmental and viewing all these people like that, the Lord asked me this question. He said this. He said, have you, in the name of maturity, stopped pursuing me in the way you did at first? That's intense. He said to me, Keith, have you, in the name of maturity, stopped pursuing me in the way you did at first? Because when I first came into the kingdom, I was pursuing God with everything I had. I was persistent in my pursuit of God day in and day out. And in worship, I was the most abandoned person, lifting my hands like David and worshiping God with everything I had. And I didn't care at all what any person thought about me ever. I didn't care. I was just abandoned in worship. And the Lord said to me, have you, Keith, in the name of maturity, stopped pursuing me in the way you did at first? And His goodness led me to repentance. And I actually responded immediately. And I stood up and just began to worship. I responded immediately and I was like, you know what? Yes, God. Yes, I've stopped doing that. But I don't want to be like that. I don't want my heart to grow cold. I don't want to be this judgmental, mature Christian and be judging everybody else around me. And so I stood to my feet and was like, yes, God, I'm wrong, but forgive me. And instead of just paying lip service and saying, I'm really sorry, God, and sitting there and reading my Bible, I stood up and I responded to God immediately. And I let my repentance be shown in my actions as well that day. And the Lord did so many things in my heart through that encounter and through many other ones that helped me to continue to do that. I'm not perfect, as many of you in this room know, on a first-hand basis, in the least bit. But I try to follow the Lord in that way. And I think that that's what we need to do. I think that's what we need to do. When we lose our grip in life, when we mess up, when we sin, when we fall short, let's not camp out there. Let's not pitch a tent and camp out there and have a bonfire around that. Let's not write ourselves off in that place. Let's repent. Like I said, not just by paying lip service, but by getting back in the game and letting it be shown in the way we live our lives. That's what he's empowered us through Jesus to do. He really has. It's incredible. The promises of God over your life have not been retracted. I want you to hear me this morning, every one of you. The promises of God over your life have not been retracted. They are not void. He does not make a promise that he cannot keep. That is the truth for you this morning. No matter what came Abraham's way, no matter what mistakes he made, he was one who was persistent in his pursuit of God all the days of his life. And believe it or not, we too can live that same way. We too can live that same way. Why though? Why though? What's the point? What's the point of continually being persistent in our pursuit of God, you know? Won't that lead to burnout? Why? Why should we do that? What's the point? Why did Abraham's persistent pursuit of God, what did Abraham, his persistent pursuit of God bring about in his life? Well, first, it brought about continual, ongoing progress. As he was persistent in his pursuit of God, Abraham found himself progressing in the very purposes God had for his life. As he was persistent in his pursuit of God, he found himself progressing in the purposes God had for his life. What does it mean to progress? Now, most of you know the meaning, but I'm just going to share it with you. To progress is defined as a movement toward a goal or to a further or higher stage. To progress means growth or development. It means continuous improvement. We see some incredible progress in Abraham's walk with God just two chapters after what we've been looking at this morning. When war breaks out between several different kingdoms and his nephew Lot is captured, you guys know the story. Abraham mobilizes his army and fearlessly, operated in fear before, fearlessly goes in and rescues Lot. That's one of the ways. The progression continues as he continues to walk closely to the Lord and he receives several other promises from God. He then, in those promises, he receives the promise of a son, doesn't he? Even at his old age, him and Sarah were both very old, but they receive a promise from the Lord that seemed completely unrealistic. Probably one of the most popular stories in the Bible. Definitely the most popular about Abraham's life. But they received this ridiculous promise, seemingly ridiculous, from God that they're going to have a son. We know that after that, Abraham stumbles again. He loses grip again for a time. He lays with Hagar. He has Ishmael. There's loads of different things surrounding that event in his life that happened. But that happens, and again, he gets back into the game. He gets back into the game, and he again believes God for the promise, for his promised son, doesn't he? And you guys all know, shortly after, Isaac comes to be. The promised son comes to be, and he's born. And then after that, that's a journey in of itself, isn't it? But then after that, Abraham is then willing to sacrifice his own son, and he goes to do it, and God stops him right before he does it. Abraham, there's a clear progression in his walk with the Lord, in his closeness to the Lord that you can see throughout the story of his life. A clear progression of him growing in God, becoming more dependent. He wasn't perfect either, just like none of us are perfect. And he screwed up sometimes, but he always got back in the game. He always got back in the game and believed God again. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Abraham is a beautiful picture of that. The incredible progression of Abraham's relationship with and faith in God would, as many of you know, land him in what some people call the Faith Hall of Fame, right? Contained in the book of Hebrews. And I'm not going to read that this morning, but there's some incredible things said about Abraham. And what's said about Abraham is actually the longest part of the Faith Hall of Fame. It's beautiful. So let's move on to the word purpose. purpose. It means the reason for which something or someone exists or is made and used. The reason for which something or someone exists or is made and used. John Piper summarized Abraham's purpose like this. I think this is a great summary. From the very beginning, God had in view that Jesus Christ would be the descendant of Abraham, and that everyone who trusts in Christ would become an heir of Abraham's promise. So it says in Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Isn't that amazing? That is good news this morning, that we are heirs to the very promise given to Abraham and descendants of him. That is good news this morning. You see, in Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we are blessed today through the righteous seed of Abraham, who is Jesus Christ. Abraham, as with many other people throughout the Old Testament, was a type and a shadow of who? Jesus. His life, his purpose, was actually to show forth Jesus and to make a way for us, for people who followed after him, to come to know Jesus. It's an incredible thing. So I just want to end with this morning. I want to just lovingly speak some truth over you this morning, if that's okay. Yeah, you guys, we were created for far more than just getting by. For far more than just going through the motions and surviving in this life. We really were. We were created for far more than just getting by, far more than just going through the motions and just surviving in this life. You were created to thrive in this life and forever. You really were. Each one of us, we were created to thrive in this life and forever. You were created to live in faith, not fear. Fully reliant upon God's strength, not upon your own weak attempts to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You were created to, like Abraham, be persistent in your pursuit of God, that you may progress in the purposes that he has for you. And like I said earlier, the purposes that God has for you are not void. There's nothing you can do. Just like Abraham messed up, there was nothing he could do to stop the purpose of God from happening in and through his life. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you've done up to this point. There's nothing you can do to stop the purposes of God from happening in and through your life. We were created for far more than just getting by. Far more than just going through the motions and surviving. I fully believe 100% we were created to thrive in this life. How do I know that's true? John was talking about the glory this morning, wasn't he? Well, we know that in part the glory of Christ has been revealed and shown in us and is revealed and shown through us. We have the hope of glory. I've talked about this several times, but we have the hope of glory living on the inside of us. I mean, we have the third person of the Trinity dwelling richly on the inside. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, "It's better that I go because I want you to have my spirit within you." Why? Why? So that we could just scrape by and scrape the bucket and struggle and just live in lethargy and live in complacency and live in doubt and live in fear? No. No. His spirit dwells richly on the inside of us because he's empowering us all the time. But we just have to tune in. The frequency is there. The frequency is alive within us. We just need to tune into the station. We just need to get in tune with heaven. We need to get in tune with what God is saying, with what He is doing, and say, yes, Holy Spirit, we know You're there. We know You love to search the deep things of the Father's heart, and we know You love to reveal them to us. There's nobody in this room who God does not love to reveal Himself to you. Nobody in this room. God loves you. He loves to reveal Himself to you. He loves to make Himself known to you. And He loves to make Himself known through you. So again, we were not created for just getting by, for just scraping by, for just going through the motions and surviving in this life. We were created to thrive. And I believe that the Lord wants to just unlock something in some of us this morning. And not just this morning, from this point on. I think He wants to unlock something in us and free us up to begin to believe that truth about our relationship with Him again. And not only to believe it, not to just pay it lip service, but to actually pursue it. What if we were a people that were marked by being persistent in our pursuit of God and progressing in the purposes He created us for individually and as a spiritual family, and we were cheering each other on in that every day, every weekend, and every time we gather, every time we meet together in people's homes for a meal? That's what we're called to do. Yeah. So Father, I just gotta thank You, Lord, for the life of Abraham. God, I thank You, Lord, for how no matter what happened, God, He got back in the game. He never gave up. Thank You, God, for His faith, God. Thank You, God, that He didn't put Himself on the bench like we so often do. But God, He jumped back in. He ran back to You because He knew that in You and through You is where He could find hope, where He could find peace, where He could find the empowerment that He needed. Father, I just pray, God, that You would give that to each one in this room today. God, I want that more. God, I just say, I want that more, Lord. I want that more, and I need that more. I pray, God, that You'd give it to me and that You'd give it to each one of us, God. And we may walk in light of these truths. Father, I just speak blessing over every mind and every heart in this room. Pray, God, that You'd bless our minds. You'd bless our hearts. That You'd bless our comings and goings, God. Just release Your peace over us as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen.